Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Women to Watch is an intimate look into the lives of prominent and influential women leaders from around the world and the challenges they faced on their journey. It's the real story behind her title. Join us every week to hear more stories about women from around the world and in your own communities at womentowatch.net. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch. I'm Sue Rocco. Thanks so much for being with me. Joining me this week will be Sarah Hirsch Bordeaux. And Sarah is an award-winning filmmaker, and she is also the founder of Women Rising. She also happens to be a former guest. She was a guest on my show in 2013. So we have a lot of catching up to do. This particular topic is fascinating. She released a study called Autoimmunity and the Good Girls. And what she has found is there is a connection between empowerment and women's health, particularly autoimmune disease. So it's going to be a fascinating conversation. Don't forget to stay with us during the breaks, where you'll hear from our watch team of corporate partners. And please do subscribe to our YouTube channel at W2W Media. So now I'm very excited and honored to welcome to the show Sarah Hirsch Bordeaux. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sue. Thank you so much for having me back.
Oh, you're more than welcome. As we were talking prior to the recording with my producer, you are one of my former guests on the show back in 2013. I can't believe it's been that many years. And so, of course, since that time, that's 11 years, I think, you've been doing a lot of great work. But what I want our audience to know is what you've done recently. And we're definitely going to talk about the sociological study that you released just this year, Autoimmunity and the Good Girls. And it's really taking a look at gender dynamics of empowerment and health. And it's fascinating. But I want to give our new listeners and viewers a little bit of background on you and where you came from, because I would say that this work is very tied to your beginning, which, you know, is what this show is all about. So I thought I would start with a quote. I gave a little listen to our interview from years ago, and it was really
fun. Oh, you did? How fun.
It was really fun. Yeah, it was really fun. I'll send it to you. I'll send you a link. But one of the things you shared with me that struck me in our first meeting was that you said, I never felt quite at home in the traditional family culture that I was raised in. And I think that that's fairly common for people to be born and raised into a family. And sometimes they don't feel that the traditions of that family and everything feels just right. So talk about that. Just describe that for a little bit.
Golly, I feel like we could just talk about that one question for 30 minutes.
We could.
I think that as a whole for me, and I really will kind of include a bit of an embrace of the women that I'm lucky enough to mentor and work with, is that what I've seen is that this generation of women, and I really mean, you know, adult women right now, have a lot in common as it relates to almost representing an archetype of the chain breaker. I think that so many of us, and, you know, I love using the metaphor of the hero's journey in sort of this storytelling kind of anchor and foundation. It basically is this template of the journey of someone who begins in one place and grows, ascends, fails, picks themselves back up again, and ends at a new place. And I think for so many of us, what I've seen is that we're all living out almost a heroine's journey of reaching where we're going by some of us, and me included, almost beginning in a place that might serve as the opposite. For me, I grew up in a gorgeous and warm and loving, very large, very energetic Lebanese Southern family. Half my maternal side of my family is of Lebanese descent, and we spent the majority of our time with that side of our family. And for me, I think I just always felt like I was incredibly grateful and happy to be within the family that I was. But some wiring in me always felt like I was so thirsty and curious and excited about a world beyond. And for me, that was professionally, that was at 13, not feeling as comfortable going to summer camp in the summers, but loving going to Costa Rica and living with a family that didn't speak any English and didn't have any hot water and studying Spanish for a summer instead. I have grown to understand more and more about my operating system, as so many of us do. And I think if I leaned more into my you know, little Sarah, I probably would have been diagnosed neurodivergent, probably would have been diagnosed on the autism spectrum as a little girl. I was very quiet. I was, a very shy, soft-spoken, and always was sort of felt more comfortable outside of traditional social dynamics. And for me, what I think I've realized over time is that was a combination of learning how to live and thrive in the operating system that I had. And to me, that also leaned into to my original upbringing and feeling very, very comfortable in almost navigating and searching and pursuing lands and worlds that were outside of what I was born into.
So here's my question for you. When you are that little girl and you have a mother and a father who are living out, you know, the traditions of their family, were they supportive of your desire to explore other places, or did you feel a little pressure to conform?
Absolute pressure to conform as a Southern raised good girl. Encoded in me was the feeling and the experience of knowing that I was considered good in the eyes of others when I was quiet and keeping to myself, or mm-hmm. when I was in service of other people.
And is that, would you say that that one statement about just wanting to be the good girl, when you look back at that, is that the basis of your recent study? I don't want to go too far ahead, but
I think I ended up needing to go back to the beginning of the story, Sue, to be able to not only untangle who I had become, but being able to basically parse out, where is Sarah, not Sarah in the eyes of A, or Sarah in the eyes of B, or Sarah modeling after another. But when you peel that onion way back, who am I? And for a lot of women like me who are raised in following expectations and certain conditions and certain traditions and certain goals and certain dreams that might be in the ether that we might have absorbed, that we might have learned from other women in our family, other friends around us, what society, you know, helps, I'm using helps in quotes, guide us to, of what we, quote, should be living out and going after, I think you end up with a little bit of an opportunity. A lot of us, for the first time, and for me in my 40s, like, who the devil am I? And what do I want that's mine? And how can I listen to my body in a way that's true? And how do I understand that my body has been always telling me a story, whether I've been listening to her or overriding her by my brain or my fear or my ego or expectations?
Yeah. I want to just mention two very important, memorable, notable projects that you worked on, again, to give our listeners and audience a sense of you and your background, because you did grow up and go on to explore quite a bit and become really a remarkable storyteller. And one of yours was the film in 2013 when you directed A Brave Heart, the Lizzie Velasquez story. I don't know that I ever know how that opportunity actually came to you.
So I had been living in Los Angeles for about a decade, having jobs at film studios like Paramount Pictures and MGM Studios, and I had a startup. I always knew that I'd want to go back to Austin, which is where I was raised, but I wasn't quite sure what it was that was going to bring me there. And I really hoped that it was going to be an invitation that was good, instead of, you know, a lot of us can make decisions because we might feel pressured to do so. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was invited by one of my closest friends and greatest champions in Alexis Jones, who the founder of I Am That Girl. And
by the way, was on the show last week.
I'm so glad. Yeah. I'm so glad that finally worked out. Good, good, good. She deserves to have 10 podcasts a day about her. But Alexis asked if I would be interested in directing and producing the first TED Women in Austin. So it was TEDx Austin Women. And when I moved back, we got together our dream list of speakers, and Lizzie Velasquez was at the tippy top of that list. She and I became close after. And I think that it was through her talk and building that stage for her and other amazing, esteemed voices that I saw in real time what the power of a moment that connected the right story with the right need for that story, and what that could do to the world. And that's what Lizzie had the power to do. Yeah. And so I wanted to give the world more of her.
And by the way, I can't think of a better title than A Brave Heart for her.
Thank you.
Yeah. So then another project you worked on, and I think you worked on this with Alexis as well, that I just think was so smart because we talk so much about women's empowerment and girls. I think sometimes we're neglecting the boys. What's happening with them? And of course, their whole sociological history is something in itself. So Protect Her was a film, and you focused on male athletes, bringing them into the fold and helping them understand the importance of protecting the girls around them. So just tell our audience a little bit about that. And if you think it's carried on.
Sure. I think that the piece that I'd love to just sort of focus on with this is, you know, Alexis and I are have had very similar callings to the work that we've dedicated our time to do. We're both about empowering women and girls, and both of us felt and continue to feel that issues facing women and girls are not just for women and girls to solve. And so for Alexis and her work in locker rooms and speaking to athletes, and for me, whether that was TED, whether that was Protect Her, this film, whether that was the Women's March of Texas, whether that's anything that I do, I never tell a woman and girl story without men and male allies a part of that delivery. So Protect Her was kind of this first of its kind documentary. It's available on Amazon. And it is this really powerful lens of emboldening men and male students to better protect girls on campus from sexual assault. And as a sexual assault survivor myself, this was another very personal project for me.
Do you think that it has made a difference to the point of there was any kind of a shift in young men's understanding that the women that perhaps they know that were abused were people's sisters and daughters and mothers?
Yeah, I think both Alexis's take on it, and I directed the documentary and it features Alexis and her work, as well as simply the moment that we're in and this body of work that I've hoped to amplify in the stories that I've told, are that men genuinely want to be at the table. They genuinely want to be a part of the solution, to advocate for the women that they love and the women that they feel they're here to protect. And I think that it's about empowerment through women and our allies. So that's been a huge part of my work. And do I think that it's made a difference? We continue to hear that it is.
Good. Listen, we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, I want to dive right into the study and talk all about it. Stay with us for our watch team, and we'll be back with Sarah Hirsch Bordeaux.
Hi, I'm Christy McCaffrey, founder and owner of Be The Good Media, and I'm here to share some good news with you. Today, I wanted to share with you about a guest I recently had on my podcast named Marianne Frey. Marianne is the CEO of an organization called Maternity Care Coalition. This organization has been around for 42 years, and they primarily serve pregnant and postpartum women and parenting families who are facing social and racial inequities. What really inspired me about my conversation with Marianne was just how she explained that her own personal challenges in her life, she feels have really helped her to better show up for this underserved community that she works with. You can hear more of my conversation with Marianne at BeTheGoodMedia.com. And there you'll also learn more about how Be The Good Media helps to amplify impact-driven missions and causes. Again, I'm Christy McCaffrey. Listen here for more good news on Women to Watch.
Hi, I'm Dawn Zier, and I'm thrilled to be back as a Watch Team contributor to share leadership advice for aspiring women to help them advance in their careers. It's hard to believe that it's been 5 years since I was last on the show as the CEO of Nutrisystem with my weekly segment on career advice. So what have I been up to? I've been watching and learning. Since we sold Nutrisystem, I've been sitting on several public and private company boards, doing speaking engagements, and have become a trusted advisor to Fortune 500 senior executives through my work with the Exco Group, a firm of experienced CEOs, board directors, and global business leaders who offer real-world experience to help organizations and senior executives unlock their full leadership potential. As someone who likes to connect the dots across industries, I found that powerful leadership does not live in silos. There are learnings everywhere. Some of the topics we'll explore in future episodes are leading with intention, being in the driver's seat of your own career, building your personal brand, dealing with workplace aggression, how to have those tough conversations, and my personal fave, lead, follow, or pass. I have two quick tips for female leaders before I close. Be a hand raiser and don't overthink things. Do not spend a lot of time contemplating whether you're qualified or good enough when an opportunity arises. Push that door open and walk right through. If you hesitate for too long, somebody else will take your seat. I've found in general that guys are much less likely to overthink and be self-critical. Please follow me on LinkedIn at Dawn Zier. And if you're a senior executive looking to grow in your career, visit excoleadership.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined this week by Sarah Hirsch Bordeaux. And Sarah is an award-winning filmmaker and the founder of Women Rising. And her current project, I don't even want to use the word project. It's really an amazing first of its kind sociological study called Autoimmunity and the Good Girls. So I'm going to let you first tell the listeners what it is. And then, of course, what prompted you to dive into this?
I was diagnosed, I sort of have to tell the backstory before I can say what it is. Yeah. When I was 30 years old, so about 18 years ago, I just turned 48, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease called Hashimoto's, which is an underactive thyroid condition. And autoimmune diseases as a whole are roughly 100 to 110 diseases, none of which have a cure, and all of which have something in common, which means that the body's immune system at some juncture begins to attack itself. It isn't able to recognize its own healthy versus unhealthy cells. And so it begins to attack itself. I have had a very, very, I guess, you know, to me, I had a reckoning with my own health. And that reckoning came about 4.5 years ago, when I was diagnosed with a relapse of Hashimoto's, melanoma, breast tumors, ovarian cysts, toxic mold in my gut, active Epstein-Barr. It was this wildly difficult time. It also echoed in my life a time where I was really struggling and I was almost losing faith that I even knew how to live right and make the right decisions for myself. And all of that came together at once. When you try just about everything, when something is incurable and doctors across the board aren't able to give you the clarity that you need. And I know that there's so many women that are listening to this that are nodding. And, you know, we've all had these very frustrating times in doctor's offices where we either don't get the answer we're, quote, hoping for, or we don't get an answer at all. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, what do we do next? And so for me, after, you know, I began COVID in lockdown with all of those diagnoses alone in an apartment.
Oh my God.
And I began to almost, you know, to me, how I was looking to feel empowered in that moment was, well, what do I know how to do? Well, I know how to tell a story and I know how to document a life. And I've done that a few times. So maybe that's the way that I begin. And so I began to mapping my health from my early childhood, which began I was sexually molested at 8 years old at a friend's house. And 6 weeks after that, I was diagnosed with shingles for an 8-year-old, which is unheard of.
Wow.
And I started to then look at echoes about my life, echoes about decisions I was making, echoes about traumas that I was going through. And I began to almost map, like I would map a script or a documentary, and trying to find what almost correlated with what. And what I ended up with was that time and time again, the moments in life when I felt the least empowered, I was always the sickest, or I was about to be diagnosed with something new. So this project, Autoimmunity and the Good Girls, began as my research about trying to get me well. And
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
That, you know, in trying to get me well, it was almost like I was my own guinea pig. So I thought, well, if all of these disempowering moments of self-neglect, of over self-compromising, of being a martyr versus being in service of someone, deprioritizing my own needs, shushing my own intuition, if all of those things made me sick, then could the opposite make me well? So for a year, almost scientifically and very surgically, day by day, I began living differently. I would catch myself. I had a whole new sense of self-accountability of, you know, okay, wait, I did that wrong. Okay, I'm going to have grace for myself, but I am going to speak up and say, you know what? I've actually changed my mind. I'm not available. Actually, I've changed my mind. I'm exhausted. I'm just going to go to bed instead, but y'all have a good time. All of these conditioning, Sue, about being seen as good, being seen as the one that would be liked, being seen as the one that was always in service of other people and masterfully good at it. I started having these echoes of maybe permission to put ourselves first just might have the power to keep us well.
Wow.
And that was the birth of autoimmunity and the good girls. Began as focus groups, then it went into a 300 woman study that I did. And then just about 6 months ago, I kind of put my own chips in the middle of the table, if you like, and invested savings in a 1,000 woman study of American women with autoimmune conditions.
Wow. So I have, the first thing I have to say is it makes so much sense to me, and I've seen it and I've lived it, and it just makes so much sense. I'm sure that, well, let me ask you this first. What, with all of the knowledge that you've gained around it, was there anything that surprised you?
I think what surprised me the most was just how unalone I have been in this path. I was surprised at the sheer volume of women who echoed experiences that I've had, who echo difficulty receiving care, who echo the way they were raised. Birth order is another piece that you and I have talked about in a friendly posture and offline. Being the oldest daughter and the only daughter and the oldest grandchild of 11, there was this unspoken sense of responsibility and pressure to caretake. And I have seen both birth order and this caretaking conditioning as a little girl almost overwhelm me with the percentage of women with autoimmune conditions who have that upbringing.
Wow. I know that you're taking this information, you're doing a lot of speaking, and I'm curious if you're speaking directly to the societies. There's always societies for each medical condition or disease. So there's an autoimmune, I'm sure, association. Who have you spoken to within kind of that arena, and what's been their feedback for you?
Well, I was invited within a couple weeks of putting out the research. I was invited by the Society of Women's Health Research in Washington, D.C. on the Hill to come and present the data. So that was the first time I had presented it in a room. And I think that the piece that, because I've been living this and living this language and looking at this data, it doesn't make me disheartened anymore. It makes me emboldened. But I know from spending time in groups of women going through this data that there is a deep sense of sadness of, what have we become because of how we were raised? That said, I think that what I aspire for the research to do is to act as a permission slip of rewiring these, because the, personal finale of my own health because of these almost revelations, if you will, is that after COVID, I went back to all of my doctors, and every diagnosis I had was either in remission or had completely disappeared. So I'm not bringing this forward because I believe that, I want to live on a speaking circuit. I'm bringing this information and research forward because if this rewiring and almost the, reassociating of our little girl and giving her now all of these permissions that we did not have when we were growing up and begin to live from a place of empowerment and receptivity and prioritization, I genuinely believe, and I've seen myself, if we have grew up in a body that didn't know who it was, then why are we surprised when our immune system also doesn't know who it is? And so to me, I really want to awaken and ignite and begin a conversation around empowerment being the missing modality in women's health.
And how important it is to start at the beginning, right? So to any young lady, any young girl needs to know that it's okay to go towards what lights them up and not try to put themselves in a place that doesn't connect with them.
Yes. I think that we're in a moment right now where the, empowerment on the outside of what might be happening on the Supreme Court, I think empowerment on the outside of what might be happening in boardrooms, I'm talking about empowerment from the inside out and what it has the power to do. We submitted, we surveyed 1,000 women with autoimmune conditions, and we ended up with thousands and thousands of short answer essays that women just wanted to share about what their lived experiences are. I think the more we start talking about it and having beautiful conversations like you hold the space for me and so many of us, that is a place to start. When I talk about empowerment as language, it has very much been real to me that I have been far clumsier before I got really clear. And I invite all women to also step into that. I remember there were times when I would, as I was trying to learn my voice and what the real Sarah's voice felt like inside. We know when we say something that we think will serve someone or make someone else happy, but we know when we've actually disappointed our own self to make someone else happy. There's a feeling. We know what that feeling is like. And that's a metric system for change. If that feels wrong to you, then it's one new choice a day at a time. Yeah. Empowerment is not walked in a straight line, yes. And it looks different for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's really important for women to know, because we don't want to ever have these big, bold revelations and then regret and look back and regret. It needs to be one of these wonderful lessons learned where we can start today anew. And anything that we've done our entire lives is, we're always going to go back there.
Wow. And then it's a reflex.
Reflex. And then you recognize it and you do something different. So that's the good news, that we have the opportunity to do that. Out of those 1,000 women, Sarah, what was the percentage that said, yes, this is how I was raised, this is what I felt inside, and this was me not feeling that my life was, meant for me?
So we'll start with some of the basics. So, 1 in 4 women have at least one autoimmune condition.
Wow. That's a big number.
It's a big number. Next thing, 63% of women with autoimmune conditions are either the oldest or the only daughter, like me.
Wow.
Beyond that, it was 52% of women who were raised as a caretaker or felt that they were forced to grow up too early. Of that 52% caretaker, which is really this kind of percentage that I'm most focused on, over 94% of women agreed with the conversation that you and I are having.
Wow, 94%. Yeah.
And almost half of these women, which this is the piece that is, it does sting, but I'm going to say it because I don't want women to feel like they're alone. And I want to give a couple of suggestions on the other side.
Great.
Almost half of these women silence themselves in their doctor's office because they don't want to disappoint their doctor. So if we just started there, let alone how to speak up to not disappoint our husbands, our partners, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our bosses, and things like that. You know, it was almost 90% of women who feel that they make decisions to not disappoint other people. These are adult women.
How about also not wanting to appear weak?
I didn't ask about the weakness part because I think that the fear of disappointing has that sort of range and spectrum to it. Mm-hmm. I really do. But when 94% of women would rather give than receive, we have a problem with women not able to receive help to get well.
Yes. Okay, so how is the medical community reacting to this? And how are they going to participate?
I began by kind of going to the top. So I built a relationship with our former U.S. Surgeon General by the name of Dr. Richard Carmona. And Dr. Carmona was our 17th Surgeon General. And he was the first on board to endorse the research. He absolutely agrees that we are, you know, there is a great sense of urgency to keep women well, to make women in their home well and empowered, because when they are empowered and well, the family is empowered and well. So the research that I did, I worked with him and other doctors across the country and put together a list of things for them to be open to, considerate of, aware of, realizing that if they have a patient that has walked in with a chronic condition and is really hardwired to be afraid of disappointing other people, that doctor and that healthcare team is going to need to ask them questions differently.
Right. The right questions. Yes.
The right questions.
Yes.
So we started there. I built suggestions for our male allies, our husbands, et cetera, because we know how frustrating it is for those out, you know, those around us. They want to help us, but if we don't know how to receive help and we don't know how to ask for what we need, it is a perfect storm of no help at all. And then everybody feels is kind of left wanting as a patient or as a loved one.
Right.
So I've been starting to work with families who have recently been diagnosed to just arm them with some empowerment tools, things to try, things to consider, because as I said before, not every woman wants to feel empowered the same way. And where one woman might actually really want to be coddled, but she doesn't know how to ask for it. And another woman might not want to be coddled at all, but she can be empowered to make a list of what she might need when she is in relapse or you know, hopefully more in remission. So I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic, I'm excited. This work has all of me in it. I hope very much that At some juncture, I'm able to evolve it into a documentary so that the women's stories can really come forward, because I think that the, you know, the power of storytelling, really, again, the right story at the right time has the power to change lives. But we as women have to be ready and less critical and not afraid to receive that care, because just because we receive goodness doesn't make us weak. And just because we're receiving help doesn't make us needy. And that is the conversation that I really, really hope to continue.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a documentary on this would be so incredibly powerful, because as you know, and we both love stories, you know, reading statistics and reading the research that you've uncovered gives facts, but to watch someone talking about their story affects people on a much deeper level. So I think that would be remarkable. And one of my questions, and maybe you just answered it, was, you know, what's next for Sarah Hirsch Bordeaux? You know, how are you feeling? And, you know, what is your next project on the horizon? And maybe there isn't one. Maybe you're just waiting to receive, you know, what's meant.
Well, I feel fantastic.
You look fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you to the listeners out there. I told Sue that I had to reteach myself how to put on eyeliner. But I feel fantastic, and thank you. I currently live in Santa Fe, which has been so good for my soul. I'm about to direct for the third year in a row a couple of shorts for ESPN Women and Toyota.
Oh, awesome.
And I'm really excited about that.
Good.
And I am working on a proposal for my first book.
Can we know anything about the book, or do you want to just wait and come back?
Well, you know, I think in the spirit of storytelling, I think that it helps and is, you know, very supportive when we almost hear someone go first with the hard stuff, especially on a journey like this. So it's a memoir meets guidebook at the intersection of female empowerment and health.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait to read that. I guess my last question for you, you know, I want the listeners to be able to go find this information, and where would you like them to go?
Oh, indeed. I made it all for free. The research is available for free at autoimmunesurvey.com.
Okay.
Yep. And I'm on Instagram, and my work is at womenrising.com.
Awesome. And we'll put that out there as well. Thank you so much for joining me. I always love to talk to you.
I love to talk to you, sister. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to go into our last break. You'll hear from one of our Watch team members, and I'll be back to close out the show.
Hey, it's AJ Bishop Andrews coming to you after spending 3 glorious weeks in the beautiful city of Ladakh, India. Ladakh has been on my travel list for probably 20 years as a practicing yoga teacher as well as meditation teacher. I really wanted to have this opportunity to go off the grid and just really come internal. The moment I had while meditating at almost 20,000 feet in elevation with a bunch of monks in red robes was this realization that maybe not every woman is ready to make the transition or the leap. When I reflect back on my own personal experience, it probably took me roughly 5 to 10 years to really get to a space where I knew and felt comfortable and confident that it was time for me to leave the corporate environment. And as I've been working with women who often find me, that is what they're seeking, is clarity. And so I began to realize, what if I created a container where women can come and explore, rediscover their spark, right, without the pressure of really needing to make an immediate or drastic change. So I'm really excited to announce the birth of Spark, a new founding membership program that I'm working on, where I'm creating a safe space for women to make decisions out of strength and clarity rather than out of desperation and exhaustion. If you'd like to learn more about Spark or any of the other career and coaching programs that I offer, please reach out to me at ajbishop.co.
We are CHOP, and we can't wait to show you around. We're the nation's first children's hospital. Now, a care network with more than 50 locations that continues to expand. Three state-of-the-art research buildings with 1.5 million square feet of space. We have grown from 12 beds 165 years ago to nearly 600 beds and one of the best children's hospitals in the world. We have a level one trauma center, 11 floors of patient units, more than 20 operating rooms, first-of-its-kind delivery unit for babies with birth defects, a separate cardiac operative and catheterization suite, and places to learn, like our internationally recognized simulation center. We have trained generations of leaders in the field of pediatrics. We are world leaders in medicine, surgery, and science. One of the top recipients in NIH funding for pediatric research. In this building, pioneers in CAR T therapy, mitochondrial disease, brain tumors, hyperinsulinism, and other rare diseases. Here, groundbreaking work in fetal surgery, genetics and genomics, and neurology. In our newest building, leaders in social determinants of health, clinical informatics and epidemiology, autism, trauma and injury prevention. Our patients come from every state and 115 countries. Meeting these challenges requires the best and the brightest. We are passionate about pediatrics. We are motivated to make a difference in the world and in our community. We are a team. We are CHOP.
That's it, everyone, for another week of Women to Watch. Thanks so much for tuning in. Next week, I'm going to be speaking with Brantley Turner, and Brantley is the director of the Dwight School in Vietnam. Thanks, as always, to our sponsors and our Watch team of corporate partners for their contributions to the show. And I hope you have a great week.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.